B-Pod Studios.
Video games.
Yes, you can!
Comic books.
Nothing is impossible.
Sci-fi.
Just
anime.
Do it!
If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
What are you waiting for?
This is Nerd Radio.
Make your dreams come true!
All right, welcome to this week's Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcasts, on the B-Pod Studios Network, of course, on WRAF.com and Alt92.9Boston.com. Hey, I remembered it.
Hey, good for you.
Yeah.
It's Chuck Veen hanging out with James and Al Beck for another week of Nerd Radio. Guys!
Yes.
How the heck are you?
I'm well.
Not bad. I'm all hyped up on a birthday cupcake, so.
Right, you're all sugared up. Ken's birthday is today.
Oh, so I'm celebrating it today because he's going to be off on his actual birthday.
Right. Oh. So James got the little tiny megaphone.
I got my bullhorn out.
Yeah, out there. And we all sang him happy birthday.
Sing him a little happy birthday song, which I won't sing because I think it's copyright owned or something by some old ladies.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah, I'm not giving those old bags a dime.
All right, so we've got a... You're not getting a dime, you old bags!
Never!
We got a full show this week. We're going to be talking to the Knights of Co-op later on today.
The Titans of Co-op.
Or the Titans of Co-op.
Yeah, I was calling the Knights of Co-op.
Oh, my God. We're going to be talking to the Titans of Co-op later on today. They're doing a real cool thing at Ready Player One downtown next week. They're going to be speedrunning Captain America and the Avengers.
Okay,
and,
cool.
The old Data East beat 'em up arcade game. And that leads me right into our headlines this week. The Avengers Endgame, they put a second trailer out to announce that the tickets were on sale yesterday and immediately crashed like Fandango and the AMC site and everybody trying to get their tickets, trying to rush in and get their tickets. Did you guys get tickets for Avengers yet?
No.
No?
I never rush out. Like I don't freak out over movie tickets for whatever reason.
Like, I didn't want to. However, after trying to see Captain Marvel on a Sunday and having to wait like two showings to get it, like and seeing that there was a huge rush on it, I didn't want to the week of try and get my tickets for Friday night and then find out that I couldn't get them until the next Tuesday.
I don't need to see it immediately. I really don't. You know,
I feel like much like your experience with having Star Wars spoiled. Like I feel like I got to see it as soon as possible before somebody tells me how it ends.
Yeah, and they're like, it really was Ant-Man in Thanos' rectum.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
didn't see that coming.
Screenplay written by James.
Yeah. Oh, if I wrote an Avengers screenplay, oh my god, I could have some fun with that. But it'd have to be like a porno.
Exactly,
Avengers the porno.
Disney's first X-rated movie.
Oof.
I don't know. I don't really, you know, talk to people.
That's going right in our next ad for Nerd Radio. Nerd Radio starting out back.
Not all that worried about. I mean,
wait till the B-Pod Studios puts that on their Instagram.
Yep.
Nerd Radio.
I don't really talk to people.
Check them out.
So I don't know. I'm not overly concerned, but you're right about the Star Wars thing.
Right.
You know the recap on that, and I think you guys experienced it in the morning before the premiere of
Episode 7. Yeah.
At this point, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Episode 7, I'm going to tell you what was texted into me. So if you haven't seen it yet, I don't want any emails because, again, I'm not going to talk anyway if you're a person. But no, I was sitting there, I was doing the midnight shift, and then I open up the text thing just to see if someone was requesting a song or whatever, and just, I can't believe Kylo Ren killed Han Solo. And I read that, and I like looked up at the clock, and it was like, 2:30
in the morning.
2:30, like it was like 2.5 hours.
Somebody went to the midnight show and then decided to spoil it for you.
Whoever was on the air at Riff.
Yep.
Like, I was like, what the hell is wrong with you people?
Yeah.
Like, that was the first, and judging by the time on the wall, it was like, it was the first thing you did.
Yep.
You know, so.
They did that to us on the morning show too.
Yeah.
Like they just called in. We dumped it so the people listening didn't hear. But, you know, Chuck, Andy, and I's hearts all broke.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's got to be a lie.
Not possible.
You can't tell him he can't be dead by Kylo Ren.
I love the idea of the dump being just like a regular conversation. Like, oh, hey, how you doing? So-and-so from Chesterfield or whatever. All of a sudden, it just cuts to you guys.
Yeah.
Just crying.
Just sobbing.
What?
And they got Dave over there. Are you dumb whore?
Yeah. That was a rough morning. I'm like, it can't be true.
No.
Maybe it is, though, but it can't be true.
Yeah.
And I think I had to marry a couple that day, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Movie.
We did that.
So I'm already nervous because I've never married anybody before. And I'm doing it in a Darth Vader, like a Reverend Vader garb that I have all put together. And then.
Oh, and you couldn't see anything in the mask, yeah, too. Yeah.
And it got that all fogged up. That was a good time. Yeah. So that was a weird day. Yeah. This was right before we broke for Christmas break, too.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a way to start Christmas break.
Yeah. Well. And that's why I don't talk to people.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, going along with the fact that you don't watch trailers, you are not aware that they dropped the trailer for the Joker movie.
I am not aware of that.
Today.
No. I was saying it just dropped a couple hours ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't watch it.
It's another one of those. It doesn't give you a real. It's a good trailer because it doesn't feel like it gives you any spoilers for the plot itself.
Okay.
It just gives you a little bit of background on who this character that Joaquin Phoenix is playing.
Yeah.
And why he's wearing the clown makeup, but it doesn't give you anything like how he would possibly become the Joker, or you don't see him really doing any Joker-like things other than a little bit of stand-up comedy, like not murdering people or, you know, gassing them.
Sure.
So as far as trailers go, I think thumbs up.
Okay.
Like, good on them for not really spoiling a ton of stuff, but still giving you the mood of the movie. There, it seems like it's going to be a very strange movie.
I'm still not going to watch the trailer, but there is a part of me that actually kind of is like, oh, maybe I should make an exception for this one, because I'm really interested to see this Joaquin Phoenix Joker.
Yeah.
Like, I think it'll be good, but I don't know for sure, but I am very interested in seeing it.
Right.
You know, I'm pretty excited to see how he does in that role, because I like Joaquin Phoenix quite a bit.
Yeah, I think he's a great actor. I just had a thought, though, with Al's whole not watching the trailer, you know, to get spoilers from the movie concept, which I've adopted as well.
Yeah.
So you do all this, you avoid all these trailers, but then look how long it takes you to watch the movies.
Listen, we're not going to break down my life.
Sorry.
Here.
I was like, wait a second. We spent like the last 2 or 3 weeks with Al running down a list of Marvel movies he's got to watch before Endgame comes out.
Right.
And he avoids the trailers because he knows he's going to go watch the movies.
Yeah.
But then it takes you like 2 years to actually watch the movies.
Yeah. Well,
it's okay. We're all insane in our own little ways.
I know.
So.
Yeah, we're not. No shame.
No, but the trailer thing is for movies that I know for sure I'm going to see, even if it is eventually.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll get to it eventually.
Once it comes out on Blu-ray.
Well, yeah, no, it is sort of a contradiction that I refuse to watch it, but I take my time.
I will not watch a trailer of this movie, and I will not watch the movie until it hits the $5 bin at Best Buy.
Because you would think if I was that like dead set against, like, I don't want to know anything, I'd be like the first one in line at the midnight showing or something.
Yeah,
but right.
Because no, I'm avoiding the trailers, but I plan on seeing it. But I mean, I'm hoping through the contacts that we have through the station, I'll be able to get into it and see it like the week it comes out, like a couple days before the
midnight showing. Since we had found out that some of the newer Avengers Endgame trailers were also going to be misleading and they weren't going to put actual information in them, makes me want to see it less. Because I'm like, well, I also don't want to be lied to, but I almost kind of want to, after I see the movie, go back and watch some of the trailers
so you can see what wasn't in there.
Like it's the deleted scenes or something on a DVD.
What did they film specially for the trailer to mislead us so that we would have no idea what we were walking into?
Incredible Hulk's hitting a bong.
Yeah. And how much do the actors know? I mean, I'm sure by...
I read somewhere that one of the Russo brothers said that they don't tell the kid that played Tom Holland.
We just talked about that today on the show.
They don't tell him anything other than his lines and a small description of what who he's going to be, you know, telling the lines to.
Yeah, they said they don't even tell him, like, who he's even speaking to at points. Like, how weird would that be?
Look, like, show up on Thursday and say these lines to another human being, and that's all I can tell you.
I'm going to show up. I'm going to stand in a green room, a room that's just green, dressed in Spider-Man pajamas, reciting lines to tennis balls.
Yeah.
Like, how crazy is that? The life of an actor.
I wonder how old that guy is, Tom Holland, because, like,
he's got to be, like, in his 20s.
If he appreciates the fact that he still has a job when they can't trust him with secrets.
Oh, I know.
Because, you know, here in radio, we occasionally, there's things that happen that we're privy to, and there's secrets, and there's clients involved, so you got to keep your mouth shut. And if our bosses knew, they can't be trusted. We wouldn't have jobs! Yeah,
that's why they don't tell me anything here. That's why they tell me nothing.
Yeah.
Tom Holland is 22.
22?
He's got to be in his early 20s.
Born in 96.
Oh, my God.
A young man. Speaking of movies, you guys were saying before we cut the mics on, you guys got an advanced screening of Shazam, which comes out this weekend. No spoilers, but can you tell us about it?
I think it's a good superhero movie.
Mm.
I felt like it was almost like a family holiday superhero movie is what I felt like.
Because yeah. there's the a lot of Christmas in this
there
movie,
was
isn't
a lot of Christmas, yeah. which James and I both kind of like, after the movie, was like, is it? Just yeah. me, or is there a lot of Santa Claus
like,
in this?
Did they were they going to market it to release it like last Christmas? Were they going to hold on to it and put it out this Christmas? Like, there's so much Christmas like right. involved with the action. I was like, I almost feel like I'm watching Jingle All the Way meets yeah. Big.
The superhero
yeah.
movie.
Yeah, like Jingle All the Way meets Big with a superhero like theme is what I kind of felt like when I saw it. But it's good. I think yeah. it's worth seeing. I liked it. Probably the same amount I liked Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I will say that... not to validate James's earlier comment. Still haven't seen Aquaman. I can't factor Aquaman into this statement, but I will say it's the most fun that I've had at a DC movie so far.
Okay. And you've been reading.
It was very fun.
You've been reading the reboot Shazam that Jeff Johns is doing.
Yeah. Like, I've
at least you've been buying them. I don't know how far they are in your stack.
I'm about 3 issues into it. I've been really like working on getting caught up. I'm still way behind, but I've been working on catching up on my stack.
Right.
And really, all I know about Shazam is the Geoff Johns stuff. So, like, the backup stories that he was doing in the New 52 Justice Leagues. And then he was in the Justice League for a little bit. And then the new, like, he just relaunched it. It's, like, maybe 5 issues in, and I've read 3 of them, I think. But Geoff Johns. So, all the Shazam I know is Geoff Johns' Shazam.
Right.
And I would say that... the movie was pretty accurate to what he's presented for
right.
the character. So if you've read that stuff, you kind of know what
if you're
getting
a longtime
into.
Shazam fan, then there's probably yeah. stuff that's you're like, hey, that's not right.
But it was fun, and I've been, you know, I'm when it comes to reading comics, I'm more of a DC guy than a Marvel guy. I read right. them both, but I'm more of a DC guy. But when it comes to the movies, I've really since the Dark Knight trilogy, I've done nothing but dog the DC movies. I haven't really felt that they've done anything quality. Yeah. I was probably the least crazy about Wonder Woman out of anyone that I know. So I had no expectations. Like I said, still haven't watched Aquaman, but I had fun. I had fun at Shazam. Really my one complaint about the entire thing, and anyone who knows anything about Shazam knows it's a, you know, it's a kid
yeah.
who says Shazam and he becomes this superhero, this adult superhero. And there was a little too much an adult being 14 to me in the movie.
Okay.
Eventually I was like, all right, great. Yep. You know,
we get on with the superhero action and less like comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whee! Less being a little kid that's all of a sudden a giant yeah. superhero.
Yeah. But the 14-year-old kids being 14 was fine. Like the kids being kids was fine. It's the adults being kids.
Mm-hmm.
I had limitations and I was like, all right, I could have done with about a half hour less of that.
Right.
I do like how they put them into the DC universe too. Like I thought it was cool. So there's characters in there that have like Superman shirts and
yeah.
Aquaman shirts.
Oh know, yeah, so there's like merch of
yeah.
the
yeah,
Justice
so they're
League
selling merch of these superheroes. Like the people know these superheroes exist.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's a big like top secret. Oh my God, there's a superhero. Yeah. You know, I thought it was cool how they did that, and it was actually kind of cool seeing like the kid. I don't know the kids yeah. and. Being in school. I don't
yeah,
know.
The one kid he's
different.
The closest with, I'll just put it, I'll leave it vague enough. I liked him.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't he played by he was in Stephen King's It. He was the, he was the kid that had the inhaler in Stephen King's It.
Yeah, now I have to go back and,
yeah.
And watch
yeah,
it again.
Yeah, he was kind of the comedic yeah. relief in that movie.
Oh, yeah, the Adam Brody.
And who
never mind, I don't want to give any spoilers out. Just know Adam Brody's involved in the movie.
Right. Let's see. There's a little bit of comic news I did want to hit while we were talking about some comic books. This week is the release of Major X. Rob Liefeld returning to the Marvel Universe with a new X-Men styled character from the future that's supposed to be I don't want to spoil it, but you find out at the end of the issue he pulls his mask off and he's the son of somebody.
Oh, okay.
I'll never
read it, so tell me after.
Is he the son of God?
If you've
Jesus?
Been missing Rob Liefeld's art.
What a twist! Oh my God!
Hell of a twist.
If you've been missing a whole bunch of pouches and clever ways to hide feet because you can't draw them, then this is the book for you.
That's funny. They put in they hide feet cleverly in the.
Yeah,
in
well, Rob Liefeld can't draw feet, so okay. He's always whenever he draws guys, he's always got to draw them in a way that he doesn't draw feet.
That's funny.
It's like so, when an actress on a sitcom gets pregnant and they do all the crazy shots so they can hide her.
Yeah,
yeah.
I say that, but he does draw a couple of feet in the book.
Of
it's
feet.
Just
he's like, and you should see how weird they look.
Well, that's funny that you say that because. Like Walking Dead, like the comic, not the show.
Yeah.
You never really see any animals except for like horses and stuff. Cause I guess Chris, or whatever.
The artist.
Yeah. I want to say it's Chris Adler, but that's the drummer from Lamb of God.
It is Adler. I just can't remember what his last name is.
Steven Adler?
Guns N' Roses. Yeah. We got a couple of drummers.
Man, Adlers. That's a popular name.
Charlie Adler.
There you go. But,
Charlie.
Good old Charlie.
But he doesn't really like drawing animals, I was told, because it had come up like, are birds zombified? Are there like deer that are zombified? Like, you don't really address that. And I think Robert Kirkman was like, yeah, Charlie doesn't really like drawing animals, so we just got to leave it out of the
That's place. Hilarious.
That's
but
funny.
Okay, by Mick, he'll, you know, they ride horses sometimes, so you'll see animals here and there, but for the most part, they're not in the comic. Because he doesn't like drawing them.
It'd be funny if they hired just a specific, like, animal artist to just to draw some of the animals in there. Like,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah, right.
Call the horse girl. We got to get some horses in here.
Right.
And then we got a couple pages. We need some dogs.
Well, see, and you've got that other book that I've been collecting, Animosity, which is like nothing but animals.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you're missing
drawing people.
If you're missing your animals on Walking Dead, you've got Animosity. Yeah. Which is like the
Me
Walking
and the
Dead
artists who won't draw people should get together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You won't draw them. I won't talk to them.
Yeah. You guys will.
We have a great time ignoring each other.
You turn in your comic, it's just a blank page.
Yeah.
Like, here we go. Print it.
Yeah.
We talked.
Go great with the blind folks.
We talked last week about that Detective 1000.
I love a comic marketed for blind people.
Comics for blind people.
Oh.
You thought you snuck that one in under the radar, didn't you?
Yeah, I was like, okay, I guess that wasn't funny. I'm like, it's like I'm on the morning show again.
Oh,
you try to get a jab in there, and you try to get a joke in, and it just goes crickets. Like, oh, man.
It was a slow burn. I liked it. Good job.
I was going to talk about Detective 1000, but you know what? We'll talk about that next week.
Okay.
I think that's a good place to stop right now for some comics for blind people.
Yeah, going
to
make room with the Titans of Co-op.
Right. We're going to talk to the Titans of Co-op, and we're also, it's WrestleMania week, so we got to talk about some WrestleMania.
That's right, brother.
Nerd Radio comes back right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hey, what's up? It's WWE Superstar Braun Strowman, and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
It is WrestleMania season, and you are back with Nerd Radio. Erica's getting pumped.
It's just such an intense week.
There's
so much wrestling.
What's it like being on top?
On top of the wrestling?
Oh, on top of the, whatever you want to call our fantasy league.
Fantasy league?
I just realized I could go.
What's it like to be on top?
I'm like, oh, no, my Me Too, like, saying, oh, no, I just violated Me Too stuff. Here comes HR.
If anything, I'm like, well, this show took a turn, but I will tell you, James, you what it
more
is like being on top.
Material.
Right.
Being on top of the fantasy league, there's a very good chance I'm going to win this out. I feel vindicated. I feel pride. It doesn't suck winning. I lost the last fantasy league we
did. I was
going to
say, you did not do this well the last time we did this.
No, well, I did okay. And then bombed out, I think, within WrestleMania week because, like, just things took a turn. It's pretty damn great. And the fact that I'm the only woman in the league and I beat all the men's and I'm a feminist and it's like, yeah!
It blows my mind. Now, let me take a step back. For those who don't know exactly what we're talking about, we did kind of a fantasy league, like fantasy football, for the WrestleMania season with the other wrestling podcast in the building, which would be 94.7's Ryan and his show Around the Ropes, and then over at 105.1, they've got Jello and his crew do the Top Three, which is also a kind of mixed martial arts wrestling podcast. And we drafted our wrestlers, like, I think right after the Royal Rumble. And we've just been accumulating points based on when they show up on TV, when somebody gets hit in the face with a chair, when somebody wins a match or a belt, anything, any of that stuff. And Erica is a good nearly 200 points ahead of second place.
Yeah, 1496.
Yeah.
That's how many points you have.
Feels pretty good. And I'm not going to lie, I'm thinking the linchpin, pun severely intended, is Becky Lynch. I got her as my first round draft pick.
Yes.
And the way I kind of set up my order, I think I was fourth to draft in our league.
Okay.
Every round I was the fourth in line. The three before me, especially in that first round, I'm like, you guys come on, you dropped the ball. Sleeping I was Becky shocked. Lynch. Shocked I even got her because I thought, number one, it had to be her. Just the way that her storyline was playing out leading into the road to WrestleMania.
Right. And it cracks me up when I look at the rest of your team because you have Becky Lynch. And then your number two earner is Samoa Joe.
You damn straight he is.
I love Samoa Joe, but I would not have predicted that or called that or even, you know, drafted that.
Hey, man, he won a title. He won a title. Like, yeah. If you have people who win titles, that is a big point earner. If they defend those titles, that's a big point earner. I only did three trades, and I ended up getting...
Two of them, well, according to this, two of them, your two free agent trades are Scott Dawson and Jash Wilder.
Yeah.
And those guys have earned you a bunch of points as well.
They
and
that's sure did.
His revival been on TV a lot.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm pulling up fourth place, but I think WrestleMania is going to probably rocket me to third because I got me some Daniel Bryan. I got Baron Corbin is in there, and he's going to have a match. AJ Styles, Roman Reigns.
You think Daniel Bryan's going to win?
You guys want to get into that now?
Let's dive right in.
Okay, because the three major matches we're looking forward to, obviously, at WrestleMania, are the women's match, which is going to headline the show.
Amazing.
And then the other two title matches, which we got Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar, and then we got Kofi Kingston and Daniel Bryan. I believe Daniel Bryan wins. But I would not be surprised if Kofi were to win just to drop it almost immediately.
I mean, it's happened before. I believe it did. Was it last WrestleMania where, or it may have been WrestleMania 33 where Zack Ryder won the Intercontinental title through a ladder match and then dropped it the next night on Raw.
Right.
I mean, you had that great moment and then all of a sudden you're like, and boom, out.
And I'm in a couple of groups on Facebook because I'm a big wrestling fan that, you know, we all talk about wrestling and somebody brought up a really good point on Monday. If you think that Kofi Kingston, Seth Rollins, and Becky Lynch are all winning at WrestleMania, you are living in a dream world.
That's a very, very good point.
At least one of those fan favorites is not walking out of WrestleMania with the victory.
I just hope it's Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Isn't Brock rumored to head back to UFC?
I've heard stuff back and forth, and I've heard, like, he signed some sort of crazy deal where WWE is going to let him do UFC stuff and vice versa, but... Who knows? I'm sick of Brock Lesnar.
Yeah,
I agree.
I think a lot of people
are.
But at the same time, I think the idea that Brock Lesnar may be able to walk into a UFC octagon holding that title on that WWE title on his shoulder might be too appealing to upper management.
Fair enough. Yeah, I could see that.
To let you know him drop the title at WrestleMania here. So if I have to bargain and I have to pick one of these three ain't winning, I'd kind of pick Seth. We're already used to Brock having the main title on Raw and not showing up and, you know, whatever, like, okay. And with the build that Becky Lynch has got, I can't imagine her not, Becky and Kofi both, I can't imagine what you do with them after WrestleMania if their story does not culminate in a victory.
Well, there's going to be no more wrestling because the MetLife Center will riot if Becky doesn't win at the very least. And that's going to be the final image of WrestleMania is not Becky Lynch holding both of those titles in the air.
Right.
You're insane. You're absolutely insane if that does not happen. Kofi, you know, it's tough but I will say his promo last night. Who watched SmackDown last night?
I missed it. I was out.
It's all right. I mean, well, you work at the, you know, ass crack of and dawn anyway. It's totally understandable.
I do have to say, as an aside, the go home shows of both Raw and SmackDown, pretty lackluster.
SmackDown was significantly better than Raw. Raw had the one segment, which was outstanding.
Raw had 20 to 30 minutes of actually need to know, which is kind of the way Raw works nowadays. It's a 3-hour show, but there's about 30 seconds of highlights or 30 minutes of highlights you need to know, and everything else is just superfluous.
But we are in agreement that SmackDown was significantly better.
Agreed.
Okay. That's just
She's not moving forward until you agree with her on that topic. Okay?
No joke.
This interview is done.
This segment is over. But, unless we agree that SmackDown was better.
I'll agree with that as well, even though I didn't see it. I'll take your word for it.
It's like I'm too afraid of Erica in this moment. I've never seen her so
passionate.
She's
got some big old skull ring. She could just batch me in that and probably give me a concussion. Plus, she's also leading the Fantasy League, so she knows what she's talking about.
Right.
So, yeah, SmackDown was superior.
No, SmackDown did have significantly more entertainment value, but it always does. It's come to the point where I just expect it now.
Oh, yeah. It is a given. But going back to SmackDown last night, you had the closing segment where they had the contract signing between Daniel Bryan and Kofi Kingston. And Kofi Kingston had that line where he said, you know, you've seen all of this. You've lived this moment. You know how this story ends.
Right.
Which I felt in like just parts of my body that just it felt great. It felt nearly as good, but not as joyous as at the start of the show when AJ Styles called Randy Orton out for the drug bust.
The drug testing.
Holy hell. I screamed in the apartment. My neighbor, who's a sweet old man, was probably like, what the hell is she doing over there? Hilarious. I'm now interested in that match based off of that segment alone. I did not give a flying rat's ass about AJ Styles versus Randy Orton until last night.
They've done a really good job. They've had two promos, Randy and AJ, to set that match up, and they've done a bang up job of making sure you were interested, even if, you know, above and beyond the fact that it's AJ Styles and Randy Orton, who both are really good in ring workers.
Yeah.
But it's a 15 match card. It starts, the pre-show starts, I think, at 6?
Actually, the pre-show starts an hour from literally right now.
Okay.
It's an obscenely long show.
Yes.
I highly recommend water breaks, getting up to stretch.
Well, WrestleMania is definitely...
I got some adult diapers, I'll be okay.
Yeah, good for you.
WrestleMania is definitely an event in the same way the Super Bowl is an event. You have a party, and you get together with some friends, and you don't totally pay attention to 8 hours of wrestling. You hang out and you talk and you have some food and you joke around and then you pay attention to the stuff you really want to pay attention to.
Right.
Like I said, it's a 15 match card. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. Like we were saying, AJ Styles and Randy Orton, Shane and The Miz are going to fight in a false kind of interim match. That'll be cool. There's two battle royals, one for the men, one for the women.
Yeah.
There's the women's tag team match, which you'll see the return of Beth Phoenix. That'll be kind of cool.
She looks great, by the
way. She does. Yeah.
She's clearly been like working out.
She is a beast.
She, like stunning. Like
she might be the one to take the title away from Brock Lesnar. Like, no joke.
I would be down with that.
I wouldn't hate that.
I wouldn't be mad either. I was watching her on Monday. I told my girlfriend, I'm like, that's who's going to beat Brock Lesnar right there.
Yep. We got Triple H and Batista. So hopefully Triple H will give Batista what he wants. Otherwise, he will continue to spit all over microphones and scream. Like we said, we've got
very funny. A Triple H's career is on the line. If he loses, he retires.
Right.
How do we all feel about that, considering he's going to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame the night before?
Yeah, with D-Generation X.
Yeah.
I feel like Triple H got injured the last time they were, in Australia or in Saudi Arabia? And I feel like that might have been a wake-up call for him.
With Shawn Michaels, right?
Yeah.
Against Undertaker and Kane.
He might have.
Grew that pec muscle.
If I was going to speculate irresponsibly, I would speculate that he quite possibly that happened, and he went, okay, I can't just like train for these one-off things anymore. Like either I gotta do one or the other. And in the same way, I look at the Kurt Angle farewell match that's going on at WrestleMania as I believe that Kurt Angle got a diagnosis in the last like 2 months that was not kind.
Yeah,
and that's because this happened out of nowhere. Like Ric Flair retired and got a good 3 months build up towards a WrestleMania retirement match. Kurt Angle, with 6 weeks to go, is like, hey, guess what? I'm never going to be in a ring again.
He's going against Baron Corbin?
Yeah, right. Well, the rumor is that maybe John Cena will.
Yeah, I've heard that rumor, but I don't know if it's... Cena shows up, he better not have dad hair. I'll tell you that right now. Because if Cena shows up with dad hair, I don't even care. But I just feel like there's got to be somebody else from Kurt Angle's wrestling past that'd be a better retirement match.
And it would
be
absolutely. Corbin.
It would be apropos for it to be Cena since, you know, the whole ruthless aggression thing and everything that kind of went with that. Hopefully he will do it right and get rid of the dad hair.
Because it's
very unsettling. I do not like it at all. If Baron Corbin goes out there and wrestles Kurt Angle, that crowd is going to be violent. They're not going to care.
Right.
And what a way for John Cena to get over, to jump Baron Corbin to get the fans on his side.
Heck yeah.
Who don't like him, or at least like the majority smarky fans that are going to be in attendance at WrestleMania.
Right.
Like what a way. John Cena's going to jump Baron Corbin and get the crowd on his side. Roman Reigns beat leukemia, got the crowd on his side.
Yeah.
What else can we do? It's amazing. Wrestling's fun. you guys.
Wrestling is pretty fun.
Yeah.
We've got Saturday night is the Hall of Fame ceremony we briefly touched on. And those are, you know, it's not as fun as watching the wrestling, but some of the speeches can be very fun. And they've got a pretty fun group of dudes they're putting in the Hall of Fame.
What a class, actually.
Yeah. Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
I mean, sure, that one came down on April Fool's Day, and I'm like, nah, man. Really?
That
and I'm
can't
like,
be
okay.
True.
It was.
Yeah. But, you know, D-Generation X, it's just a whole bunch of people that's going to be really cool. And that means that NXT TakeOver will not be on Saturday night. It will be on Friday night. And that has a potential. I'll tell you what, in the last month, there have been two separate episodes of NXT that already were the best wrestling I've seen all year.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this has a lot of potential. You've got Johnny Gargano going against Adam Cole.
Awesome.
The NXT Championship. Aleister Black and Ricochet, who we've seen a ton of on the main roster, will be going against the NXT Tag Team Champions, the War Raiders, after winning the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, which that was the first episode where, because it was Aleister Black and Ricochet against a couple of NXT UK guys, and that was a great match, and that ended with Gargano and Ciampa versus the Undisputed Era. So two matches that, if you're an NXT fan, are just five-star, fantastic matches. You've also got the Velveteen Dream facing Matt Riddle for the North American
Championship. I love that bro dude.
Yeah, Matt Riddle is fantastic.
In real life, I hate a bro dude, but on NXT, I love that guy. I don't know what it is. He's barefoot in the ring, like, bro. Like, I love that guy.
Last year, around WrestleMania time, because a bunch of independent shows happen in the same city as WrestleMania, he put on a show where he fought Minoru Suzuki.
If my memory sounds about right.
And Minoru Suzuki is the scariest MF-er in Japan.
I love him so much.
He's like the Undertaker of Japan. He's just a scary old guy that hits people really hard. he's fantastic. And not to be undercut, but the United Kingdom Championship will be defended as Pete Dunne faces Walter. That NXT show is just wall to wall. Oh, and the Women's Championship. Kairi Sane, Io Shirai, Bianca Belair, and Shayna Baszler. Every match on that card.
It is solid. And thank goodness they kind of limited the card on NXT, since the WrestleMania card is going to be so GD long.
But they always do.
They always
NXT do. NXT is always about an hour and a half, 2 hours tops. And like you like to say, give me the line.
It's all killer, no filler, baby.
That's it.
There you go.
Absolutely.
James is laughing, going like, good God,
well,
these
I like
two.
It's all killer, no filler, baby.
Yep. No, I know how our mind works.
Yeah,
we've been
I
doing
know.
This for a minute.
We've talked wrestling, for a minute.
Yep.
We have good rapport.
Let's not forget that we've got a Monday Night Raw and a Tuesday Night SmackDown after WrestleMania, which are some of the biggest shows of the year, because you get that WrestleMania crowd right back in that same arena. And they're raucous and rowdy, and they're going to, as they like to remind us now, they're going to cheer people they normally boo and boo people they normally cheer. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. We'll have to reconvene next week.
There's stuff's going to go down.
Absolutely.
It's going to be wild.
Do you guys want to touch on the John Oliver stuff before we take off?
Well, on the topic of the crowds on Monday Night Raw and SmackDown Live, the John Oliver thing, I have a funny feeling fans may use that as part of their chance. I'm sure, as everyone is well aware, the crowds are insane.
Yes.
They usually come packed with like a set amount of chants. Like they all kind of network on social and be like, all right, we're going to say all this crap and see what gets muted by Kevin Dunn. Kevin Dunn is like the big production guy at WWE. He's kind of like, in charge in the back, running like the production truck and all that jazz.
He's the guy that pipes in the cheers for Roman Reigns.
There you go.
He's the guy that muted me when I said Elias sucks at guitar in Detroit.
You damn straight he was. That was Kevin Dunn.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be very interesting to see what they say in relation to the John Oliver bit on Monday and Tuesday when they are heavily mic'd and not in an open air arena.
True. True. Yeah, because that was the thing. John Oliver, of course, does his, pretty much his version of The Daily Show on HBO on Sunday nights.
Last week tonight.
Last week tonight. And did a extensive piece on the fact that the WWE employs the wrestlers as independent contractors, not as actual employees, which means they don't get like health insurance and they don't get
retirement
a pension.
Stuff,
retirement pension and all that stuff. And then encourage the fans at WrestleMania this Sunday to, maybe chant about some of that stuff. And then Monday, the WWE invited John Oliver to WrestleMania.
It's a trap. Don't do it, John.
But that's the thing. If you watch the piece, it's essentially a hit piece. But I do love John Oliver. And, his stuff is always well-researched and very funny. You could tell while he was, you know, doing the piece, he's a fan.
Oh yeah, he loves it.
Absolutely,
yeah. That made me
fan.
Happy, like watching him do that, because I'm like, you can tell the guy generally actually enjoys WWE.
Yes.
And then the stuff that he brought up, like, it was funny and informative. Like, it was a great piece. Like the best, probably the best 20 minutes I spent on the internet this week.
Right. But it'll be. You know, I don't know. I would go if I'm John Oliver. What's the worst that can happen?
Dude, I'm sorry. If you get invited to WrestleMania, you go.
Yeah, like, true. Especially if you're a fan, too.
That's very true.
No matter what they're going to do.
You bring a couple of you know, people as security. Like, stay with me at all times in case something happens.
Bring in J&J security?
Maybe. Maybe. But no, it's the biggest week of the year if you're a wrestling fan. Whether you like it or you know... Whether you're super pumped for this year's WrestleMania or whether or not, it's been kind of a lackluster build to this WrestleMania. And like I said, there's 15 matches, but everybody probably only has somewhere between 3 and 5 that you really care about.
Mm.
Unless you're playing a fantasy league. Yep. Then you need every point you can get.
Dude.
Damn straight.
Unless
that's
you're
me, because I'm at the bottom.
Oh, no, I know.
I'm the toilet bowl of this league.
I need every point I can get, too. Like, nothing is set in stone. We have no idea what's going to happen, with the exception of Becky Lynch winning.
Which is the most fun.
Which,
when
yes.
Nothing is, you know, when you don't know, especially if you've been watching as long as we have.
Right.
When you're not exactly sure. All right, guys, let's talk some more wrestling next week once everything goes down. Once the smoke clears.
Yay.
Nerd Radio comes back in just a minute. Me and James are going to be talking to the Titans.
Titans of Co-op.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's Wednesday night. Time for Nerd Radio.
Welcome back. It's Nerd Radio, wherever you're getting your podcast, and of course, on Rift 2 Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. My name is Chuck Bean, of course. I'm joined by James. And tonight we're joined by the Titans of Co-op. This is a pretty cool thing.
Titans of Co-op!
I know, right?
Titans of Co-op.
We're talking to 8-Bit Steve, and we're talking to Sync. You guys are doing something really cool at Ready Player One.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. We totally are.
Next Friday. Next Friday. You're in celebration of Avengers Endgame. You guys are going to try and speed run the Captain America and the Avengers thing?
That is correct, yeah. We actually do an event there every month. They're our official sponsor. So every month we pick an arcade game, or we might do a console game, and we're going to break a world record live in the bar. So basically people come out and they hang out, they interact with us, and then we do it live there for you, right in the bar.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it's not something that, you know, a lot of people get to see live. It's pretty unique in the fact that, you know, there's a significant chance that we might not do it. So the pressure's on.
Right.
But, you know, so we've been fortunate enough to, you know, through good preparation and practice to deliver so far. But, you know, there's always that chance, right? So
so you guys, how many people in the group, first of all?
Well, there's two of us mainly. It's just me and Sync, and we're founding members. We've dabbled with other members in various capacities, but it takes an immense amount of dedication and time to do a world record. So it's difficult to add members to the team. You got to be real passionate.
And you guys are looking to when you talk about doing world records, are we talking speed runs? Are we talking point wise? Or what are we?
Well, we've done both. We've done high score records. We've done speed run world records. We've tried to diversify ourselves, but mainly I'd say the main focus really is on speedrunning. So
yeah, speedruns are just a lot more popular right now.
Okay.
Because it's just a lot larger. The fan base on speedrun.com has got a couple 100,000 users, so it's a bigger exposure rate. And there's obviously the large marathons, the European Speedrun Assembly, Awesome Games Don't Quit, which you guys are probably have heard of. There's two huge marathons every year. We were just in Sweden for European Speedrun Assembly, and we got invited back for summer. So we're going to be going back to Sweden to showcase. So it's a really, really fun, thing to do as a hobby.
You guys were so good. You got invited back.
That is correct.
To Sweden, no less.
Thing. Yeah, the whole other country.
Exactly.
The country liked you so much, you got invited back to show off your gaming skills.
Now, for our listeners that aren't familiar with the term speedrun, how would you describe it?
basically what I tell people is it's when you play a video game as fast as possible competitively.
Okay.
So you play it as fast as possible and you compare your times against other people. And there are a lot of categories and stipulations and rules for that. But once you figure those rules out and you just compare apples to apples, it's just whoever's fastest, you know, so that's what a speedrun is.
Do you think there's a game you could speedrun, James?
No.
Not at all.
Actually, you know what? I probably couldn't make it to completely beat the game, but Super Mario Brothers, I feel like I could get that pretty quickly.
The original Super Mario?
I would need time to practice, like, level 8.
Right.
And then to relearn the different techniques to get through the final Bowser, like, castle.
For sure.
And actually rescue the princess. But that's the only game that I feel like I could nail real quick.
Yeah.
It's usually Mario Brothers stuff.
Well, that's what that was why I asked. I was like, is there a game that you love so much that you've played it so many times that you're like, I could probably just tear ass through that game as fast as possible?
I mean, I could tear ass through, like, Punch-Out.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be able to beat.
But Mike Tyson's going to beat the crap out of
this. I'm done. You know, I'm done. Soda Pop's got me every time.
Right.
I made it a Super Macho Man, I think, one time my entire life. So
you guys were talking about, you've got, do you hold some of the world records in speedruns?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We have quite a few. Some notables. We have Turtles in Time, which we just did live at Ready Player One last month.
Awesome.
Turtles Arcade, the regular game, so both of those. We have Golden Axe on the Sega Genesis. We're former world record holders in Streets of Rage.
Street Fighter 3, or not Street Fighter,
Final Fight
2. Final Fight.
Final Fight.
Yeah. Final Fight 2. I mean, we do. I mean, we have 30-plus, I mean, so it's hard to remember them all.
Double Dragon 3?
Double Dragon
nice.
3, former world record holders. I mean, any beat-em-up that you can name, we're Knights of the Round, Alien versus Predator.
Captain Commando.
Yeah, Captain Commando.
These are all games you hold records in?
Correct.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
Yeah, correct.
Are these like Guinness Book of World Records? Like, do they come out and they certify all your stuff?
So we get that question a lot. So there's three things with this. I'm going to try to be as quick as possible on it. If you're looking for high scores, Twin Galaxies is the number one source, if it's a high score. If it's a speed run, it's speedrun.com. Guinness Book of World Records is for, like, how many video games can you balance on your head? How many video games are in your collection, right?
Sure.
How long can you play a video game? It's
all the lame records.
Exactly.
Well, like, no gaming skills involved.
It's stuff that's not a speedrun or a high score. Okay. So Guinness World is just not interested in those kind of records, so we use speedrun.com.
Okay. Like, so, they'll be calling in about 10 years, and, oh, nobody cares about the Guinness Book of World Records. We should get involved
right.
with the esports.
Yeah. I mean, we just go where, you know, the largest community is, and those two sites are really the largest communities for their, you know, for high score and speedrunning. So
now, speedrunning I'm familiar with, but co-op speedrunning is kind of a new beast for me. Are there a lot of guys that are like teams of co-op speedrunners, or are you guys kind of, you know, found a new ground here?
A little bit of both. So there's some teams out there, but they usually only have, like, play one or two games.
Okay.
We have a wide variety of records on multiple consoles, Super Nintendo, Genesis, NES, arcade. We have the, as far as I know, and I've done some research on this, we have the most co-op world records as a two-player tandem in the entire world.
That's amazing.
But, you know, it's really just, for us, it's like, you know when we were kids and, you know, there wasn't the internet and you'd just come over to your friend's house and you just play games on the couch, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's what our team is about, right? We just do that on the couch. We just happen to try to do it really good.
Well, you know,
really
well. That was my next question is, like, there's a lot of people who are speedrunning. What drew you guys to, were you guys doing individual speedruns, you know, and then we're like, well, I mean, we love sitting out on the couch and playing games together. Why don't we just do these?
Yeah, so, I mean, A-Bit can tell you kind of how he started. He kind of got me into it. We both worked together at a employer.
Okay.
So, yeah. And he kind of just called me over and was like, hey, I got this thing that I'm doing. Gave me no information at all, but was like, hey, you want to try it out? Check it out. See if you like it. And I think, so we just started playing couch co-op games and, you know, just fun and drinking and having a good time. And then I guess the competitive nature really kicked in.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, by the way, how would you like to have a world record in this game? So then and then we just started, you know, reset after reset, getting better and better at different stuff. And, yeah, got to the point now where we're just, I mean, as a co-op team, I don't see too many people having the same chemistry. You see it on our streams, our Tides of Co-op on Twitch. You see the back and forth. It's you get good speedrunners who work with each other, but you don't generally get friends who are doing it. You know,
sure.
I mean, what do you,
I think
you can have two speedrunners work together and they can accomplish some things, right? Yeah. But in a co-op run, a lot of it is just like, trust in the other guy, anticipation, right. Understanding what the other guy is going to do or what his tendencies are. And that just is built over time. So you can get together at a marathon with two high-level speedrunners and break a record. But for stuff that we do, I feel like we can tackle any co-op stuff just because it's been 4 years now together. So I don't even have to talk to him.
Yeah, a lot of it translates, right? I mean, we know what the other person is going to do without even
telepathy.
Yeah, it's weird. You know,
well, just the games are similar when you're playing retro stuff or even some modern stuff. The mechanics are the same.
Like Golden Axe and Streets of Rage, right? Yeah.
Right. So you guys pretty much specify in those like kind of side scrolling beat 'em up.
No, I mean,
co-op
we have
games.
World records and shoot 'em ups. We've dabbled in world records and a lot of stuff. Right now, we're working on Far Cry New Dawn.
Oh, wow.
It just came out. Okay. We're working on a co-op record.
Yeah,
record for that. Now, you guys have heard of maybe Monster Hunter World?
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of boss time kills records that we're going to be working on for that. So we dabble in
everything.
Anything that we think is fun, we'll do.
Yeah, that's the number one rule. It's got to be fun, right? So
yeah, we've worked on records before where we're playing and then we're just like, this isn't fun, and we just stop.
Okay. What record are you most proud of?
I venture to say it's probably, for me, it's Golden Axe, and I'd venture to say it's the same with 8-Bit. I mean, that's the one that was our first co-op world record, and the one that we learned the most about working with each other on, so it took a lot of time, so.
And who's your favorite character to play in Golden Axe?
I play Axe Battler, and he plays Tyr. So the funnest character is actually Gilius Thunderhead.
But you know the names. I'm like,
right. He's just like the dwarf.
Yeah. The Bikini Babe is Tyr's Flare. The Bikini Babe is Tyr's Flare, and the warrior guy's Axe Battler, and then there's Gilius Thunderhead, the dwarf. The dwarf is really fun to play, but he's horrible for going fast.
The weakest magic. And
oh, he's got little legs.
So you guys avoid riding the dinosaurs and stuff? Because I feel like the dinosaurs are slower. Yeah.
There's a lot
all
of
on foot.
There's a lot of strategy to that. Like, you know, one of the strategies is you don't pick up every magic, you know, because that takes time and
true.
You know,
yeah. Well, every time you trigger that magic, it takes a full couple of seconds.
Not only that, but then there's certain magics we use, and then there's certain ones we don't, based upon the time that it takes.
Sure.
For that magic illustration to go through.
Yeah, you got to go through the whole little graphic or the
exactly.
They pour the potion and all right. of a sudden lightning comes down.
Yeah, you don't want the dragon to come through because that's going to take a lot of time. All right, so like we said before, you guys are going to Ready Player One a week from this Friday, April the, what's the date on that?
April 12th.
April 12th,
yep. Starts at 7 o'clock. So what we're going to do is you can come down to the bar. We're going to have a little setup there. What we like to do is interact with the crowd there. So we're going to let you speed run. You can come up. We're going to have a little speed run challenge. You can learn about speed running, talk with us.
Right.
We'll train you. You're going to try to beat one of the bosses in Captain America as fast as you can. We're going to have a little leaderboard up on the board there. We're going to give away some prizes and just have some fun. And then at about 10 o'clock, we're going to hit world record attempts. Last month, we were able to beat the record on the first try. So hopefully that happens again, but there's no guarantees to it. And it's a really, really, really fun time.
How long have you guys been practicing this Captain America game?
Actually,
you want the honest answer or the podcast answer?
Whatever you're most comfortable revealing.
We typically don't practice something like that until the week of.
Oh wow!
We want to keep it fresh, so we usually do it the week of.
This is a console game, or this is going to be
It's an arcade game. It's an arcade game.
Crazy.
Yeah.
We spend a lot of time at the arcade to play this one.
Right, a lot of quarters.
Yeah.
So if me and James want to come down to Ready Player One and we want to try and like top that leaderboard, what's some tips you want to give us to get through this?
Well, I mean, the button pressing technique, obviously. I mean, you're trying to attack as fast as possible, so we'll show you how to press the button as fast as possible.
We're
on
rubbing your knuckles
stick.
On the Sega Genesis
yeah,
controller?
Yeah, no bloody knuckles.
No bloody knuckles.
The key B qualification.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A lot of it's just coordinate. We're going to have a co-op one and a solo one. So if you guys come down, you guys can do a co-op one and get on the co-op board.
Right.
A lot of it's coordination. Just, if your partner is attacking the boss and you see a move, you try to cut the boss off, right? You just try to work with your other guy.
Yeah. When to use special attacks, things like that, enemy manipulation, screen pressing. These are all things that are part of every speed run we do. So we love sharing that information with anybody who's willing to hear about it.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely.
Very cool.
So where can people find you guys online?
Twitch. Twitch. We were trying to pump Twitch. We just hit Twitch affiliate. We're growing really fast. We want to grow as fast as possible.
You're trying to speed run Twitch too?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you can find us at Titans of Co-op on Twitch. Exactly as it sounds.
Twitch.tv/TitansofCoop.
Correct. That is absolutely
not
correct.
Not Coop. Co-op.
Not Coop.
Not Coop.
We do it like, I'm putting a dash in for co-op, and it's not taking me the right.
Yeah, it won't let me.
C-O-O-P.
Yeah, it's C-O-O-P. We also have a Facebook page, and usually on the Facebook page, it's just... We post pictures of us at cons. We do a lot. We travel a lot to different conventions. We've
done some. Met the Highlander.
Yeah.
You saw that? Series.
Whoa.
Yeah. We went to Grand Rapids Comic Con.
On Facebook, making sure I know who's coming in the studio to talk to us.
Yeah, we've been around. So we for us, one of the cool things is you don't get to see world records live. It's not a real thing, and we feel like interacting with the crowd and getting people excited, getting you guys engaged in what we do, is fun for everyone. And so that's what we want to do. Is we work with Ready Player One, and they're awesome guys there, and they let us do world records live. So we get the bar hyped up, and they're like excited, right? Also, sneak preview, if we break the record live at Ready Player One, they're going to do a drink special.
Hey!
So it's, you guys are engaged too, so we can reward you for coming out to the bar, and we can break the record, and you guys can get some awesome drinks. So.
Get drunk on you for winning a world record.
Exactly. Woo! Exactly. Like, yeah, we would love to have you guys there.
Now the pressure's really on, because now we got to hit it.
Pressure's on.
You promised us drinks!
We're telling all the listeners, drinks for free! Come to Titans of Kowa! I'm just kidding. They're not buying you any drinks.
Yeah, no, I didn't say. Yeah.
I love the disclaimer voice, too, though.
That was a good disclaimer voice.
And that way, maybe they won't know it's me. They're like, oh, they had to get the legal guy in there to say no.
Right. Anything I missed, James? Anything you want to ask these guys? Man.
Like we found out what's going on.
I'm
looking forward to seeing you guys compete.
Hey,
12th.
Thanks for the opportunity. Come on and pump it, guys. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, we'll have to have you back next time. You guys are setting another world record. I'm glad you guys picked the Captain America game. It's kind of weird niche game as far as those beat 'em ups go, but I still remember like playing it on the Sega Genesis and the friggin' voice things. Like no,
yeah, the arcade voices are incredible because it's got the arcade sound chip.
Yes,
so it's a really really awesome game. And in the bar, there's TVs all around the bar. They're jacked into that, so you can see it all over the bar.
That's cool.
And I'm a real big Marvel fan, and I love that the movie's coming out. And we just thought, hey man, this is a really cool way to interact with that crowd. There's also going to be a cosplay event there. There's a cosplay group that's with Ready Player One, and they're going to be cosplaying Avengers stuff.
It's going to be a fun time, man.
It's going to be a really rocking time. You guys should totally come down and hang out with us and meet us and play some video games and watch us break a record live. It's a very rare thing. So,
cool. All right. I'll be down there for sure. I'll do some. I'm going to fill in some stuff for Casual Gamer. And
We're talking April the 12th, Friday, April the 12th at Ready Player One. Come check out the Titans of Cosplay, the Titans of Co-op. And all the great stuff that's going to be out there, man. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you.
Also, still check out the Titans of Cosplay. I'm sure they're probably sure,
yeah,
cool it's probably too. Interesting.
They're on Facebook.
But we're talking about the Titans of Co-op.
Yeah, totally. All right, Nerd Radio comes back next week. Thank you guys so much for being here. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you leave us a review on iTunes, wherever you're getting your podcast. Make sure you're following us on the social media at Nerd Radio 101.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend!
Golden Radio.
I know!
See you later, nerds.
And we're out.
Hey, it's James.
I'm Al Beck.
And my name is Chuck Bean, host of the Nerd Radio Podcast.
Yeah, you're all right over there?
Yeah, no, I'm good.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.